إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا الشريعة بعد الشريعة. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل يا أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم ألا نعبد إلا الله. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, I must admit that today for the talk I had a few options on the topic that I should speak on. I thought for a moment that I should also speak on the furore surrounding the Da Vinci Code and Islam's viewpoint on Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. However, I felt that I need to do more study before inshallah one of the weeks we will speak about this. Then I was also looking to speak on the situation in Palestine, where the entire population of Palestine, who after exercising their democratic right of voting for who should lead them, and because it did not go down with the powers, how they are being subjugated and put under pressure. But then I thought that we have been speaking on contemporary issues for some time, and I would like to today, as is our wont, that we sometimes get a mixture between contemporary and looking back at some of the historical aspects with the intention of taking lessons from them. I thought I would like to speak today on one incident in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then share some of the lessons that we can learn from this incident and put it into practice in our day-to-day life. The incident is about our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam sending letters inviting the kings and the rulers of that time towards Islam. And it is fascinating with regard to the whole background and what had transpired at that time. After the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when there was a peace and a truce between Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims and the people of Makkah for 10 years. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the peaceful conditions that was around, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to write letters to the monarchs and the kings and the rulers and the leaders of that time. Now here the first lesson that we learn is that when there is peaceful and stable conditions, those peaceful and stable conditions are the most conducive and the most appropriate for you to do da'wah. And when there is no peaceful and no type of conditions of peace, and where there is conditions of turmoil, instability and chaos, it is very difficult to do da'wah and to reach out to people who are not from your same faith. And when there is instability and hostility, then that hostility prevents people of looking at your message with fairness and justice, because that hostility prevents them from looking at the truth the way it's supposed to be true, the way it is supposed to be looked at, and they are colored with the lenses of hostility to be able to look at something at true face value. And that is one of the reasons why Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into the peace treaty with the people of Makkah. And when this was achieved, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam found the right opportunity to send letters towards the various kings inviting them to Islam. Now when we look at the second thing, is that who did Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam write letters to? Amongst the people that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote letters to was the king of the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire. Now at that time, the Roman and the Persian Empire were the two superpowers of the world. To write to them at that particular time when they had the power and they were want, or they had in the past been able to divide the whole world according to their whim and their fancies for their own benefit, something very similar to what is happening today, or maybe even to a greater extent. And for them to write letters to them shows that a person writing at that time must have had growing and glowing conviction of his message, and he did not fear with regard to his message. This was one of the aspects. The third aspect also we learn from this is that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took the message and sent the letter, he chose appropriate people to send that particular letter. People who were conversant according to Waqidi and according to Ma'arab al-Hassan Nabi rahmatullahi alayhi, the people who he sent the letter with were people who were conversant of the language to whom the letter was directed and to whom the people, the letter of the people to whom it was directed. They were conversant of the language, and not only they were conversant, they were people who were held in high dignity. So these were the aspects that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had sent the people with the letter towards the various kings and the monarchs. And the one that I would like to concentrate on today is when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a sahabi by the name of Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu with a letter to the king of the Roman Empire, Hiraqal al-Rum, or Heraclius the way it is known in English. He sent him with a letter. Dihya al-Kalbi was a very famous and a very handsome sahabi. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of a human being, normally used to assume the appearance of Dihya al-Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person with great status and a person with great stature and personal appearance. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam sends him with a letter to the Heraclius, Hiraqal al-Rum. And at that time, Heraclius was on the crest of popularity. The reason is because few years before that, the Persian Empire had defeated the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was at its lowest ebb. Did not seem that they would be able to come out of this defeat easily. But it was this Heraclius, the king of the Roman Empire, who had turned the tables upon the other superpower at that time which existed, which was the Persian Empire. And because of that, he was very well liked in his kingdom. He was very well respected, and he was very popular. And in that particular popularity, he was at the time when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent the letter, he was in Baitul Muqaddas. He was in Jerusalem. Because that was now taken back by the Christians, and the people and the religious personalities had given him a warm welcome, and he was accepting and that the fighting that was done towards him and the respect that was shown towards him. And Dihya al-Kalbi, knowing that he is in Jerusalem, takes the letter of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hiraqal al-Rum, to the Heraclius. Before he presents the letter, he tells him that it's important for you to think about this letter, to think it about it with due humility, and give the answer with all sincerity. Because if you hurry, or if you do something in haste, and if you do not give it the importance that this letter demands, then it would be to your detriment. And then Dihya al-Kalbi presents this letter. Let us read this letter that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent to the king of the Roman Empire at that time. In fact, this particular letter is in various museums, a copy of it is in various museums of the world. The exact replica of this letter. And it read, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. That shows that we start off our letter, and we start off each and everything with the name of Allah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kullu amrin dhibalin lam yabda' bi ismillahi fahu abtar. Any important task started without the name of Allah is devoid and shorn of blessings. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, Min Muhammad mi abdillahi wa rasuli ila Hiraqal azim al-Rum. From Muhammad, the Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Hiraqal, the Azim of Rome, the great leader of Rome. Now let us just ponder again. Many a times when we address people, we sometimes look down upon them. Kafir, disbeliever. Here Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing a letter to a person who at that time was not sympathetic to Islam. But even in addressing a letter to him, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam adopted the appropriate and the right decorum and dignity by addressing him with a title that he was known with. Hiraqal Azim al-Rum. Hiraqal, the Azim of Rome, the king and the leader of Rome. Salamun ala man ittaba al-huda. Salam be upon those who follow the truth. And in reality, salam and peace is only worthy for those who follow the truth. This is also the right way of making salam to people who do not follow the truth and who do not follow Islam. Then amma ba'd, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after that said, فَإِنِّي أَدْعُوكَ بِدِعَايَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ. I invite you towards Islam. أَسْلِمْ تَسْلَمْ. Accept Islam, you will be safe. Accept Islam, you will be safe both in this world and in the year after. Safety is dependent upon Islam. If not in this world, definitely in the year after. And of course, what is the reality of our life in this world when 60 and 70 years compared to the vastness and the entirety of our existence? What is 60 or 70 years? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Aslim Taslam. You accept Islam, Allah will keep you at peace. يُعْتِكَ اللَّهُ أَجْرَكَ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And furthermore, Allah will give you double reward. The reason why Allah will give you double reward is you had adopted Christianity. Obviously, the time of Christianity was at the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, till the last prophet comes. Now when the last prophet comes, it is your duty and obligation if you are following Allah. Because Allah sent Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and Muhammad Rasulullah. So if you want to follow Allah, then after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, the messenger of Allah upon the earth is Muhammad Rasulullah. So you have to follow him. And if you follow him, because of the fact that you were previously following Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and now you follow Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Allah will give you double reward. فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتَ. But if you desist and you resist, and you do not follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then together with your own sin, you would also take over sin in the responsibility of the people who are following you, because you are the leader. فَإِنَّكَ عَلَيْكَ إِثْمَ الْعَرِيسِيِّينَ. There are two interpretations of this. One is that it means the masses, because you are the leader. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, كُلُّكُمْ رَعِنْ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْقُلٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. Each and every one of you is a shepherd, and Allah will question you with regard to those people who are under your control. So from this we learn that just as the leader is responsible for the subjects, the people who has any type of authority, he is responsible, and Allah will ask him with regard to those who are under his control. The parents, Allah will question you with regard to your children. Ustads, Allah will question you with regard to your students. And whatever type of authority you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you with regard to that authority that you have. So then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited and quoted an ayat which I had made mention in the beginning. Ya Ahlul Kitab, ta'alu ila kalimatin sawa'in baynana wa baynakum an la na'budu illa Allah. O people of the scriptures and book, come towards one word or one sentence that is common between us, that we worship none besides Allah. And we only worship Allah. That is the Ahlul Kitab. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then made mention of this verse. Here again it tells us that within a particular limitation, there is accommodation for us to cooperate with people of other religions and faith and scriptures, especially on matters which are common between us. The way this tells us, and the way Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and today when you look at the situation of the world, where there is an array of forces of godlessness and atheism against particularly Islam, but also against other religions, is something that perhaps we should look at in light of the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was a letter. After this particular letter, Hiraqal then asked for people that, do you know anyone who is perhaps in our vicinity that knows about the person who has written this letter? Go and search and look for him. So his courtiers went around looking for someone who had come from Makkah. At that time, Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Quraysh, at that time the arch enemy enemy of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was for the sake of tijarat, for the sake of business, he was in Sham. He was in Syria. So he was summoned and brought into the court of Heracles, Rome. Heracles, the king of the Roman Empire. And then Heracles, Rome asked him something like 11 questions. Now listen to the questions and listen to his conclusions. And he asked him with regard to him, that this person who has written the letter, who is most closest amongst you to him? Abu Sufyan said, I am the most closest, because Abu Sufyan and Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, amongst the forefathers, they meet up at a particular place where the forefather of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Sufyan, was one person. So at that particular, I said, I am the most closest in relationship to him. So Heracles Rum addresses questions to Abu Sufyan, but in doing so, he tells the people who are with him, you stand behind him, don't stand in front of him. And if he speaks a lie from behind, you give me an indication. You give me an indication. Maybe you standing in front, you would be afraid to refute what he is saying. But standing behind, you would not be able to be afraid. So then at that particular time, Abu Sufyan said, because of this embarrassment, that one of my own people would refute me, I did not speak a lie. Otherwise, I was tempted to say something about Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that was not perhaps very complimentary. So this particular say. Then he asked me 11 questions. كَيْفَ نَسَّبَهُ فِيكُمْ? How is his nasab and lineage? So Abu Sufyan replied, he is a person who has a very high lineage amongst us. قال فعل قال هذه القول منكم أحد قد قبله. Did anyone make such a claim from his family brothers? He said no. The third question, هل كان من آبائه من ملك? Was any of his forefather a king? So Abu Sufyan replied no. The fourth question, the people who are following him, are they from the wealthy and influential, or they are from the weaker and lower classes of society? Abu Sufyan, remember this, they are from the weaker and the poorer section of the community. The fifth question, Ayazidun, are they becoming more in number or less than number? Abu Sufyan said they are becoming more in number. The sixth question, did anyone from amongst them leave Islam after accepting Islam? Abu Sufyan said never. Very rarely, and then it didn't happen. Then he said, did everyone ever say that he speaks lies before he laid claim to prophethood? Abu Sufyan said, no one ever laid any claim that he was a liar. Then the eighth question, فَهَلْ يَخْدِرْ? Did he ever go against his word? Does he ever go against his word? And Abu Sufyan replied, this is the only thing that I could say. He said, no, he never goes against his word, but at the moment we have a peace treaty, I don't know whether he will abide by it or not. So that's the only thing I could say and bring him with me from my own side. Then he said, did he ever have wars with him? He said, yes. What was the position of the wars? So he replied and said, Al-harbu baynana wa baynahu sijal. That it was equal. Sometimes we had won, sometimes they had won. And then he asked, what does he give? What is his message? So Abu Sufyan replied, U'budu Allah. He said, worship Allah, do not associate partners to Allah, and do not follow what your forefathers had done blindly. He commands us to perform salat. He tells us that we must always speak the truth, and he always emphasizes upon us afaf, morality, and the keeping of ties with our relatives. This was what is it. After this, Heracles Rum now makes an analysis of what Abu Sufyan had said. And he replies and he says, that I asked you that is he amongst the great people who had a very favorable lineage? And you said yes. And he said, كَذَلِكَ الرُّسُلَ تُبْعَثُ فِي نَسَّبِ قَوْمِهَا. In a similar manner, any prophet is always brought up amongst the influential or amongst the respectable people of a community. The second thing I asked you is, did anyone before that ever make such a claim? And you said no. The reason is, I asked you this question is, perhaps he is only following what was done previously. He saw that it is feasible, so he also made the same claim. I asked you, هَلْ كَانَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِ مِنْ مَلِكِ? That is there anyone from amongst his forefathers who was a king? And he said, no. The reason why I asked you is that perhaps he is laying claim to the kingdom of his forefathers. But that is also not the case. Then I asked you, did he ever speak lies? Now listen to this, my dear respected brothers. And you said no. And I came to this conclusion. He who does not speak lies or does not attribute lies to the creation, how can he attribute lies to the creator of creation? When he doesn't speak lies against the creation, then where is it possible that he will speak lies that Allah Ta'ala sent me as a prophet? If he doesn't speak lies against the creation, where will he speak lies against the creator of creation? Then I asked you that, are they becoming more or less in number? And you said that they're becoming more. That is the way Iman always become more. The people of Iman always become more. I asked you that when anyone accepts Islam, does he come out of Islam? And you said no. See, that is the reality of the sweetness of Iman. Once a person achieves the sweetness, he would never want to renounce it, even if he has to die. I asked you with regard to what he teaches, and you told me what he teaches. And then he got up and said, Wallah, if what you are saying is the truth, if what you are saying is the truth, then this person very soon will conquer the land upon which I am standing upon. Me and the people and his adherents will capture the land upon where I am standing. I really had thought that I would complete the incident, but time has elapsed. And I see I got a watchdog also there on top of me. The watch now tells me I have to stop at a particular time. So I will conclude now. And inshallah, we will take this particular topic even further. The various letters Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrote to the various monarchs. And what was it? What was the lesson? Wallah, there is so much great lesson that we learn from this. That how our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam presented Islam. Let me leave you with one question. If someone today were to make a questionnaire with regard to the Muslims, would the same answers be said with regard to Muslims of today? The way Abu Sufyan, the enemy of Islam, had to say about Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is a question I would like to leave you with. May Allah give you a topic of understanding and make an amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.